Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine, June 2008 edition, and looks like that we're on week June 25th, so this is the last week in June. This year's going by really fast. So on the cover of this article is Michael B. Jordan, and we covered him last week. And so let's pick up where we left off at, which was from Love and Life, Go Hard and Go Home. Define your love and success squad. The most important possession of a boss bride is a ring. The ringing of your phone. My book exists because my friend connected me to literary agent Regina Brooks. I met Oprah Winfrey because my girl, Alicia Qualls, invited me to an event. It is the essential that you identify with cultivate your support system to have the life you desire. Assess your network from the following roles and commit to expand where you need. My team, people who help bring my dreams to support. My support, people who care for my well-being. My sponsors, people who connect me to opportunities. My advisors, accomplished people with sound insight. My protégés, people who can learn from me. My rabbits, people who show what's possible for my next. To expand my love and success squad, I joined The Wing, a social club and a network of co-working community spaces for women with locations in New York City and D.C. that's growing globally. The community includes powerful women like recording artist Candace Hoyes. I Don't Do Clubs founder Janice Jamila, and Jeannie co-founder and CEO Shanna Janelle Ewing. And it looks like that it's a monthly collection of positive lifestyle products created by influential Black women, including Michelle Williams and Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Khan Coolers. The June box is curated by yours truly, thanks to my squad. And you can learn more about that collection at geniebox.com. And then finally, tend to your ticking clock. As a proud feminist, I know there's still no way around the fact that our beautiful bodies have optimal fertility. We are born with all the eggs we will ever have biologically. And 35 is the average age a woman's egg health begins to decline. According to the National Institutes of Health, recent breakthroughs have vastly improved the success of preserving a woman's egg for future pregnancies through freezing, which many employers are now covering. If having biological children is a goal, make sure to ask your gynecologist to test your anti-Müllerian hormone as well as follicle-stimulating hormone levels, which are believed to be indicators of your fertility. And since your eggs are still with you, treat your body as if you were already pregnant with care. In case of emergency check, one day at the office, Essence Digital Director Yolanda Sanguini asked, "What are you doing tonight?" I didn't have plans, but happened to be dressed as if I had somewhere to go. A few hours later, I was taking a selfie with Taraji P. Henson at Chaka Khan's 60th birthday party. Still, stay ready for unexpected invites and dates by keeping a few stylish pieces at work, such as a clutch in your purse or drawer. You can check your work bag when you get to the event. A little black dress or a simple sleek outfit stashed for when opportunities knock. And then also earrings or accessories that can pop with the ensemble. And then finally, a comfortable and cute pair of heels. Go hard and go home. So even with an amazing career, you cannot marry your job. Being your best requires a balanced life to go hard at work, then go home. For a boss bride, going hard has a recipe. Hard actions, research decisions. Focus on your heart's desires, then make informed choices. At a dinner party earlier this year, an old friend and former Essence single man of the month asked me, I was hesitant to accept at first because I had only ever seen him in terms of platonic relationship. When I took the time to get to know him and looked at the qualities I wanted in a partner, thanks to checking my checklist as outlined in the book's third chapter, I realized he was worth a shot. I've been pleasantly surprised and am glad I said yes to an opportunity that I almost missed out on. Feed your femininity. One of the best gifts you can give yourself is to unlock your sensuality, that powerful energy source. Many pages of Boss Bride were hidden or were written while I was wearing my furry kitten heels that I had snagged on a trip to Paris. Commit to do whatever it takes to feel like a goddess. The more tuned or turned on you are by your own self, the more unstoppable you become. So Boss Pride Bills of Rights, 8 permission slips for me, a modern woman. Number one, I have the right to define joy and success for myself and seek them. I am responsible for my happiness. I can love on my terms and change my mind at any time. Number two, I have the right to prioritize my personal life without sacrificing success. Who I spend my time with is just as important as my career. I can go hard and go home. Number three, I have the right to put caring for myself at the top of my to-do list every day. The better I take care of me, the more I have to give to the world. Number four, I have the right to demand my worth in every scenario. I am worthy of respect at all times. The pay my talents merit, the relationships my heart craves, and anything else my soul desires. Number five, I have the right to be vulnerable, which is a strength, not a weakness. My truth is my power. Number six, I have the right to create boundaries in every area of my life and to teach people how to treat me. Number seven, I have the right to ask for help whenever I need it. Life is a team sport, and I will actively seek support and community. And then number eight, I have the right to live in the moment. This very second is one I will never see again, so I will soak it all in. So moving on to another article, still in the love and life section, titled Men's Health, Beating the Odds. June is Men's Health Month. Let's be proactive about helping our brothers stay physically, mentally, and emotionally fit. While the life expectancy of Americans has increased, on an average, African-American men still live 4 years less than their white counterparts, 72.2 years versus 76.6. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, also known as CDC, among the leading causes of death for our men are heart disease, cancer, and strokes, often exacerbated by coping with stress. We live in a society that is bombarding us with the message that we are less valuable, says Thomas Levy's PhD, Dean of the School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine at Tulane University. We deal with that through self-medication, most commonly sugar, salt, and unsafe sex. Leviste is a co-founder of the Black Men's Health Project, a coalition of black male health researchers that is surveying 10,000 black men. We need to talk about health. We need to ask each other, did you get a flu shot and have a prostate cancer screening, he says, combating a toxic culture. The socioeconomic, behavioral, and environmental factors such as lack of access to quality care, distrust of doctors, family trauma, unemployment, and systematic racism leads to stress, which Levy says is at the core of every health issue that impacts black men. Too often they escape into comfort food diets that are high in sugar and salt. It's a protective of our psychological health, but impacts our body. Over time, excessive sugar and salt leads to diseases like diabetes and hypertension, LaVie says. Racism takes a major toll on the bodies of African American men, adds Roland J. Thorpe, Jr., MS, PhD, Director for Program for Research on Men's Health at Hopkins Center for Health Disparity Solutions at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Health. And even when the odds are against them, black men can overcome health challenges. To cope with feelings of inadequacy, Sinclair P. Sazer, 3, found comfort in food. As an adolescent, the now 30-year-old recalls sitting in front of the television with his father devouring hoagies, chips, and oatmeal cream pies. "I've always been a binge eater and was never satisfied with one plate. Family reunions were the worst because I offered my favorite comfort foods. I remember once eating 3 plates of mac and cheese," he says. "As I got older, I realized I overeat to cope with stress and anxiety. I'd rather feel full or almost sick than be anxious." The CDC reports that nearly 40% of black men over 20 are obese, defined as an adult with a body mass index of 30 and up, and more than 40% of black men over age 20 have high blood pressure, also known as hypertension, which, if left uncontrolled, can lead to heart attack and stroke. In 2016, at age 28, Caesar weighed 287 pounds. With encouragement from his wife, Tanisha, he set up a series of doctor's appointments, including a physical with a primary care physician who diagnosed him with prediabetes, prehypertension, and obesity, conditions that disproportionately affect African-American men. "It was a scary time for me, and I dreaded telling my wife. She felt I wasn't serious enough about my health. She was right," Caesar says. "After much processing, prayer, and tears, I took action." The first step, the assistant director of student life at La Loyola University, Maryland, in Baltimore took, was finding a nutritionist to heal his relationship with food. Within a year, he lost 30 pounds by changing his diet and lifestyle and was no longer at risk for heart disease and diabetes. He has maintained his new size and plans to shed more. "Before I lost the weight, I felt defeated and carried a lot of shame," admits Caesar. "I recently looked in the mirror while in the gym and thought, 'You're big, you're sexy, and everything is okay right now.'" Part of his daily regimen is eating nutrient-rich meals full of vegetables and whole grains and drinking at least 64 ounces of water. To control his anxiety and stress, Caesar sees a therapist, meditates, keeps a gratitude journal, does improved comedy, and shakes it off with hip-hop dance classes. As black men, we're not taught to take care of ourselves. We get messages to work hard, be tough, never complain, don't trust doctors, and if you're hurt, get over it. The top 10 causes of death for black men are heart disease, cancer, unintentional injuries, stroke, homicide, diabetes, chronic lower respiratory diseases, kidney diseases, septicemia, also known as blood poisoning from bacterial infection, influenza, and pneumonia. To temper depression while studying at Morehouse College, Lawrence Trapp Sr. turned to alcohol. "It started as regular college stuff at parties, but eventually I drank daily to cope with my emotions." The 25-year-old didn't recognize his drinking was problematic, but his peers did. "One day, another student called me out for smelling like alcohol. I told myself, 'You got to chill.'" Initially, Trapp resisted getting professional help. The National Alliance on Mental Illness reports 1/4 of African Americans seek mental health care compared with 40% of whites. Discovering that his grandmother suffered from alcoholism, which ultimately killed her, was a turning point. "That was another wake-up call that I didn't start taking care of my addiction and dealing with my depression in a healthy way," The self-medicating could take me out, he says. With his parents' support, Trapp took a year off from school and moved back to San Diego, where he sought counseling and attended Alcoholics Anonymous. My parents were invincible and never gave up on me, he says. These days, Trapp uses exercise as a healthy outlet. Exercise takes my mind to the place I was looking for when I was abusing alcohol, he says. I also communicate openly instead of letting things fester. Staying on the offense, prioritizing physical fitness and being proactive has helped Alfred A. Edmond Jr. maintain optimal health. In 2009, the amateur bodybuilder, veteran, financial journalist, and relationship coach found he had prostate cancer. Because he has a family history of the disease, early detection was his saving grace. If you wait to experience symptoms, you've waited too long, dramatically reducing treatment options. That's why annual tests are important, says Edmund, who started checking his prostate in his 30s. He had his prostate removed and unfortunately hasn't experienced some of the possible side effects of prostate cancer treatment, including erectile dysfunction and incontinence. Research shows that prostate cancer is almost 60% higher in African-American men, and the mortality rate is 2 to 3 times greater than white men's, a risk increased with obesity. Because of the higher risk, black men should begin prostate-specific antigen, also known as PSA, and digital rectal exam, known as DRE, or DRE, testing annually at 35 rather than 45. My doctors credited my commitment to screenings, exercise, and nutrition for my ability to endure the surgery and recover quickly and completely. Edmund says, now cancer-free, the multitasking married father of four never misses a workout. He weight trains 5 to 7 days a week for up to 75 minutes. He recently celebrated his 58th birthday with a workout and a selfie tagged Operation Six Pack at 60. I am in better shape now than when I was 30 years old, he says. Every year lost to avoidable premature death equals a loss in potential average earnings, Edmund says. So every black man who dies at age 47, which is 25 years sooner than his average life expectancy, is possibly leaving $1.2 million in earning potential on the table. It is a price that we as a black people cannot afford to pay. Edmund says, in order to live fuller and longer, Levice says that black men must make their health a priority, including managing stress with support from fraternities, churches, and other nurturing groups and spaces. We want to ensure that black families have husbands, fathers, brothers, and uncles for longer, he says, of the Black Men's Project. We do too. Resources for him. Add these essential reads and websites to your must list and his, such as The Black Man's Guide to Good Health, Essential Advice for African American Men and Their Families. It's written by James W. Reed, MD, and Neil Schumann, MD. Another book is, or another resource is, Standing in the Shadows, Understanding and Overcoming Depression in Black Men by John Head. Also, The African American Guide for Living Well with Diabetes by Constance Brown Riggs and with Tamara Jeffries. Another resource is Loving in the Grown Zone, a no-nonsense guide to making healthy decisions in the quest for loving romantic relationships of honor, esteem, and respect by Alfred A. Edmond Jr. and Zara D. Green. Another resource is Black Men Run and Black Men's Health Initiative. And then finally, 100 Black Men of America Incorporated. On his mind, notes from a native son, cultural curator Emil Welbeacon continues to break barriers for gay black men. He recounts how he found his truth and shared his darkest secret with his biggest fan. I love the man I am becoming, a combination of the great men I admire. My father, Harvey Earl Welbeacon, who was a gentleman of his word with a fierce work ethic. Willie Ferguson, my high school art teacher, who was worldly model for GQ and had studied with Picasso. Cultural icons such as Gordon Parks, Andre Leon Talley, and James Baldwin, who were mavericks. But it was my mother, Dr. Cleota P. Welbeacon, who shaped my character. My dad was like a best friend. My mom was and is the love of my life. When she died last year from congestive heart disease at age 86 on June 3rd, 20 years to the day of my father's death, my world collapsed. For 2 years, I had watched her go from a vibrant Capricorn to a shell of her former self. Our roles reversed as I had to care for her like a child. This was the woman who graduated from high school at 16 after integrating the tennis team, received her bachelor's and master's degrees in music, married my father after meeting him on a blind date, went to law school while pregnant with my brother in the 1960s, adopted me 6 years later, earned her PhD, and worked as a judge while juggling a family. She also participated in 13 civic and social organizations, served as our church's minister of music, was a master quilter with pieces in the Smithsonian, and acted as historian for the National Bar Association. I loved my mama. She was the picture of a perfect Instagram post of warm embraces. Didn't show the work it took for us to get there. In 1991, I was 22 and finding myself in New York City. With mom hounding me about getting a girlfriend, I had come out to myself, but not to my parents. It's that gray area where many LGBTQI+ people decide our sexual identity and place in the world. I found the courage to tell my parents on the phone, I'm gay. I like men. My mother screamed and recited scripture. My father replied, I always had a feeling. We cried. We yelled. It was horrible. We are packing up everything and sending it to you, my mom said. As an adopted child, I had abandonment issues. This was the worst case scenario. My brother Eric, who is a cisgender straight man, became the glue of our family. I had come out to him the year before. He was questioning it and accepting and had a request. Don't run away. Be patient with mom and dad. Educate them about your lifestyle. After some therapy, painful holidays, and a year of little communication, I had the confidence to be my authentic self with my parents. There were awkward moments, but I was determined to live my life with pride and dignity. My mother felt that as a black man, I did not need another strike against me. Would I lose my job? Would I get beaten up? Would I die? I came out in the middle of the AIDS crisis as the world witnessed a generation of men disappear. When I was appointed editor-in-chief of Vibe magazine in 1998, I was the first openly gay black man to run a major publication. When we won the National Magazine Award in 2002, it was historic. A New York Times reporter interviewed me and asked if I was gay. Well, I am now if it's in the newspaper. There was no turning back. I became a poster boy for black gay men. At Vibe, I made sure we included stories about LGBTQI+ issues and HIV, AIDS, and advocated for awareness. I was diagnosed as HIV positive during this time, a fact I could hide for 14 years. My friends knew, but I didn't tell mom. I visited my doctor frequently and take daily medication, something I will do for the rest of my life. 3 years ago, I was in India meditating on my next chapter. While journaling at a spot overlooking the Arabian Sea, I heard a voice say, "Black gay men." I returned home ecstatic. I looked at my bookshelf and saw Notes of a Native Son by James Baldwin. It was a perfect name for a movement to empower black gay men, with Baldwin as an ideal icon. At the National Son launch in 2016, I bared my soul and shared I was HIV positive with the room of 50 black gay professionals, including Don Lemon, DeRay McKenzie, and George C. Wolfe. I couldn't lead without living truthfully to my brothers. It was liberating. There was one issue I hadn't told my mother. I went home to Cincinnati shortly after for the holidays to learn how to make my mom and my mom's famous pumpkin bread. Recently released from the hospital, she was too weak to bake, but strong enough to supervise. It was a tremendous time baking 200 loaves for loved ones and talking over gospel music. We learned the New York Times had covered the launch. Mom was elated. While making the last batch, I told her, "I'm HIV positive. I have been for 14 years. I am undetectable, which means I could not pass on the virus." "What took you so long to tell me?" she asked. I was ashamed. I admitted through tears after a few moments. My mom told me how proud she was of me. Then she loved on me like never before, rubbing my arms and holding my hands. "You look healthy from the inside out," she said with a smile. I had shared my darkest secret with my mother, and she still loved me, maybe more than ever. I was free. I am a Native son. And this article was written again by Emil Welbeacon, and he is a former editor at large at Essence. Win from within. Actually, here's a good one. Prayer. God help me to discover the best version of myself and then lose myself. May I find myself by developing a healthy I factor and living with the right sense of my identity, significance, and perspective. May I lose myself by using the growth and greatness I will experience to benefit others. Success is about me. Significance is about others. May the life I live not only be about success, but also be about significance. And it looks like that we've run, and you know, I think that was perfect to end on this note, because it looks like that we run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. I hope that you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I am Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.